Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Hello? Can you find me?
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
I'm behind you. I am right behind you.
Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I am your co-host, Mandy. And unfortunately, my partner, Ben, can't be with us tonight. He is busy doing his school stuff. As you know, he is working on his PhD in psychology. So he can't always come on all these, unfortunately, but he said to tell you hi and thank you for doing this for us. So we have got Kalani Ghost Hunter on with us tonight. How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good. And just to let you know how busy this guy is, he's literally pulled over on the side of the road to do this interview with me for a few minutes because he's on his way down to New Mexico tonight to do Lord only knows what. You're insanely busy, dude.
Yeah, it's definitely, I never have a dull moment. And even when I think I have a day off, I don't, because something usually sprouts up and that takes my day off. So I don't really get days off anymore, but it's definitely a blessing with what I do.
Yeah, you've definitely got a very, very cool living. So for those who haven't heard of you, which I find difficult to believe given your TikTok status now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this crazy hobby?
Yeah, so it started for me when I was 11. I saw a Civil War drummer boy at the Shiloh Battlefield in Tennessee. Wow. And from that point on, it wasn't really ever a question of if it's out there, it's how can I find it again? And, you know, just the general interest from that point led me into, you know, TV shows and just kind of absorbing some of that content. And then when I turned about, I think it was 18 or 19, I started to kind of get into it as an investigative hobby where I was going to places with equipment, trying to get interaction. I mean, from now until that point, I mean, it's a very different approach for me, but you know, you got to start somewhere.
Sure.
But I've only been doing it for about 4 years, but this past year has definitely been a whirlwind of adjustment, just from going from not really having, and I wasn't producing content up until about a year and a half ago. So a year and a half ago, I decided I was going to start making content around my hobby at the time. And then it just started to skyrocket. And now we're at a point that a lot of people don't get to experience, but there are good and bad drawbacks to where we're at. I tell people all the time, it's amazing that I get to do this as a job now, but at the same time, it kind of takes some of that enjoyment I had away, just because there's a different approach to it now, because it's now my living, how I pay my bills and how I do everything. It kind of takes some of the fun away, but it's still definitely something that I would rather do than sit at a desk from 9 to 5.
Oh, sure. I can understand that. I'm assuming by, you know, the hard part of it is because every time you have to go to a place, you always have to kind of be on, you know, and you can't just go and sit and do EVP sessions. You have to have your camera on all the time now.
That's what sucks is, you know, I will say before I really started making content, my investigations were a lot duller in the sense of I could sit in one spot for an hour in silence, just listening, and I didn't have to worry about filming anything or like my live stream. It's almost like I have to be me for that entire time for people to enjoy watching.
Yeah.
So It takes that component away where I can't just go to a location and investigate for fun anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's every time I go somewhere, I have to turn on a camera, turn on a phone and you know, it sounds like I'm griping, but it's just an adjustment. I mean, people don't get to see that part of it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people don't really think about it that way because, you know, there's a lot of us that have tried to get to a point with our investigations and our content, and for some reason it just doesn't go. And some of us have gotten lucky in that aspect. So it's definitely an adjustment that I was not expecting.
Well, it's definitely hard because I know when we try to do things, you know, to put out there, it is difficult because most investigations you do just sit there for a long time and just talk to the air and not always have cameras running and that type of thing. So I definitely, I mean, it's awesome that you get paid to do it now. That's very cool. And you don't fake stuff, which is what I like too. So it's, you know, you're
Yeah,
getting 100% real.
we haven't folded on that component, which I'm proud of.
Good.
I
Please
can wear
don't.
that as a badge of honor, is I haven't had to buy any fishing line yet. I'm kidding. The yet isn't there. I would never do that because for me, you know, if I get something, I'm not out here to prove anything to anybody. I'm out here because it started as a hobby and something that I enjoyed and I was pursuing. And now I just use the content as a way to share that with other people. I think where you get in trouble is when your whole content arena is based off the fact that you're trying to prove the existence, where you're trying to add that shock factor. I think that's where it gets a little hairy because you have to have these
We have to have
simulated
the
things.
evidence. Yeah,
Yep.
exactly. It's
So, you know, there's
crazy.
sometimes I'll go to a location and I have maybe one or two things go off for an 8 hour period, and the rest of it's just like I'm talking to an empty room. I mean,
Yeah,
that's the
exactly.
reality of what we do is sometimes we just don't get anything.
And I think that's what people don't understand, especially when they watch some of these TV shows that, you know, you don't go into a location and 5 minutes later, boom, you've got your first Class A EVP. It just doesn't work like that usually.
Well, and
At
they
least not
always
for
paint
me.
the picture. They paint the picture that it's you know, we're going in for one night and one night only. But, you know, anyone that's been in this long enough and you talk to enough people, which I've got friends that are on some of these shows, and you know, they're there for a week, right?
Yeah.
So
Yep.
if you gave
With
me a week at any of these locations I go to, it might be a little bit easier to chop up a week's worth of content
Oh
to
yeah.
make one video that looks like this place is the most haunted place in the world, you know.
Well,
It's
sure. Yeah. I mean, they have
so
equipment rolling 24 hours.
I definitely think there is a lack of understanding and transparency between your average viewer and in the TV side of content. And another thing is, like, you know, even with YouTube, right? Anytime something is post-produced, there's always that element of there's the ability to paint this picture or paint this narrative or paint this idea because you are in control of the creative process. Whereas when I do live stuff, I
You're
mean,
live.
there's
There's,
some elements that you can kind of, you know, with history and stuff like that, you can kind of lead people down certain paths, but
Sure.
you can't really make anything happen live. There's people that do, don't get me wrong, but you know, for me, it's more about kind of living out that historical essence and bringing attention to places of history, but also having authentic paranormal content.
Which I think is awesome. And the biggest reason I brought you on tonight is because you just did an investigation at my number one bucket list place, Gettysburg. I have been dying, no pun intended, to go there for as long as I can remember because I love history, number one. I'm a Civil War buff too. And oh Lord, that place is just has to be off the hook.
Well, the battlefield is incredible, and they're very anti-paranormal investigators at night on the battlefield. You can go to Saxe Covered Bridge, which we went on our way out, and I had a little cigar. And you know, as the lore goes, if you kind of light the cigar, it'll look like there's somebody inhaling it to where the embers light up on the end. And we actually had it happen. I only had it happen once over about an hour and a half. I was trying. But it looked like there was somebody puffing on the end of this cigar. But where I actually got to investigate was a home that's never been investigated before. And it's where General Rodes of the Confederate Army stayed a few nights before the battle. So he stayed in this home. But we kept trying to get something from the Civil War to kind of sprout up because this home used to have a pool, and the pool was filled in from dirt from the Lincoln Cemetery, and it actually has pieces of headstones from the Lincoln Cemetery mixed into this dirt, and it's just in this guy's backyard now. But the most interesting thing that we actually captured at the house, which I'll send you these EVPs once I make it home.
Oh, great.
But
Thank you.
There was an actor by the name of Oscar Shaw. He was a 1920s actor. He was a big time actor. He's in how many different movies? But he actually had bought this house. And I kid you not, there was this like twin size mattress swing in the middle of his living room. And he had like 30 chairs surrounding it.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can kind of read between the lines on that. He was into some weird stuff. We'll just say that. Anyway, so
yeah.
I start bringing up these components that I think might apply to Mr. Oscar Shaw. And we had, this sounds so weird, we had what sounds like some sort of wet noise, and it wasn't rain, there was no water, but it's the first time I've ever had this very, very distinct noise come through a couple times. And it was only after I asked these certain questions that I thought would apply based off of the inferences I gathered.
We're talking sexual.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was the weirdest thing because it sounded like something wet coming through an EVP.
I wonder, have you ever heard of Hyros Gamos?
Uh-uh.
It's a very, very old practice where, because way back when, you know, women were very revered, and in order for men to be able to commune with God, supposedly they had to, you know, join together with a woman. And what they would do is they'd have two people in the middle having sex, and there would be a lot of people around watching them. That kind of sounds like, I don't know if that's something that he was into or not.
It was almost more swinger vibes, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Because there is actually an old photo that the owner of the house has now.
Uh-huh.
And there's two women sitting on this bed swing in the middle of the living room, and Oscar Shaw is just in between them smiling.
Oh.
So
Oscar Shaw's a freak.
I think Oscar Shaw was a bit promiscuous, to say the least. But it was weird, though, because that's the first time I've ever had something that sounded like this.
Wow. I cannot wait to hear that.
Like, what is that? Because I was hoping for some Civil War stuff, like, you know, General Rhodes was here. They kicked out the blacksmith family that owned the cabin to take it over. No, I'm getting some freak from the 1920s coming, which, you know, I can't complain too much because to me, that's pretty cool. I mean, even though it's weird, it's still a very, it's a good confirmation because I definitely think he was, and the way that his house was designed, the road is here. His house is here, but the entrance is on the other side of the house, away from the road. And
really?
The driveway is also very, like, isolated from the main road. So he could have a long line of cars at his house, and you wouldn't really ever know.
Oh, so he liked to keep things private. That is crazy.
Which, again, it's kind of weird to think, like, why would this movie actor from Hollywood want a, you know, vacation home in Gettysburg, which, you know, he could have been a history buff, but, you know, I think there was a little bit more to Mr. Oscar Shaw.
I might have to look into him a little bit because that really piques my interest. That's crazy, though, that happened in Gettysburg. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Civil War.
No, and you, like I said, I was hoping that we could get something about the Civil War because, granted, it's not on the battlefield itself. It's probably maybe 3 or 4 miles from where you're getting into the battle zone. But it's also rumored that that place was used as like a field hospital. They can't confirm it yet. He's trying to get a hold of the historical society, but regardless, you've got headstones and dirt from the Lincoln Cemetery filling the pool. You've got, you know, the fact that the general stayed there with other Confederate soldiers before the battle took place. But all we pick up on is some freak actor from the 1920s.
That's good TV right there. I would watch that anytime. So you guys, I'm assuming, couldn't really get on the battlefield at night.
They're very, very aware of what we do, and they're not very fond of having people out because, like, the battlefield's huge. Like, I'm assuming you've never been there. It's massive,
Mm-hmm.
but You're obviously going to have your headlights on to get around, or a flashlight or something, and they have constant patrol of it. So, and it you can't even fly a drone on it, because since it's a national park, technically, the only way you can get drone footage of the Gettysburg battlefield is if you take off and land outside of the battlefield, and
Oh, I didn't know
essentially
that.
can't touch anything. You can't take off or land within the battlefield.
Oh.
But
What
you can
about like on
literally
the
be right
road?
outside of it. Yeah, you can be
Like,
on, you can, there's certain ways to get around it, but you can't take off or land in it.
oh wow, man, they're strict.
Yep.
That's, I mean, I kind of understand why, as you know, out of maybe a respect thing or whatnot, but God, that's such a paranormal hotspot. They just, and I mean, it's not like they haven't let other people come in and investigate, you know. It's
Yeah,
weird.
I think you just have to have either the right amount of money, or know the right
Yeah.
person to kind of
Yeah.
get into that. But Saks Covered Bridge you can do, which the history of the bridge with the hangings that took place. Now, I would say if you're looking to play it safe as an investigator and you go to Gettysburg, you've got your orphanage, the Jenny Wade House, the Farnsworth, I will touch on that one. So the Farnsworth House, we did a daytime, just a couple hour investigation, and got a lot of good equipment interaction. And the part of the house we were in is the attic where the sharpshooters would have been. And I think five or six sharpshooters passed away within that room. So we had really good activity there. I think that definitely was probably Civil War related things. And another kind of interesting narrative that came out of that Farnsworth experience was, we had this, what we thought was a little or younger boy come through that lied about his age to be a soldier for the Civil War. So we kept getting a variety of different things after asking certain questions that kind of led us to believe that he was lying about his age so that he could fight. So it was really cool, and it was in the daytime too. So I definitely don't think it has to be at night in Gettysburg, or even anywhere, to get activity.
Yeah, that's another thing. It doesn't have to be dark for paranormal activity to happen, because ghosts don't give a shit about time, you know, unless it's
No,
residual.
I don't know how time works for them, but I don't think they have to go to sleep.
Yeah, I think they come out whenever they want to come out. It doesn't really make a difference. I know it doesn't at the place that I work. So yeah, it's that's one thing that always cracks me up. It's like, well, I want to be there at midnight. Why? You're just staying up late for no reason, you know. But that's just me.
It just adds to the storyline.
Think it just adds to the scare factor. You scare yourself because, oh my God, it's midnight and I'm in a haunted place. But yeah.
That's just a typical Tuesday for me now. It doesn't really do much for me anymore, but I guess the people
Oh
that
God.
watch enjoy that component.
So I'm guessing you're a day sleeper now.
Yeah, my schedule is very, I'm a very nocturnal person. Most of my driving I do at night. When I'm investigating, it's at night. When I get my best work done, it's at night.
Well, you're still young, so.
It's really not bad as long as you can consistently stay on that schedule. It doesn't, I mean, there's plenty of people that have worked third shift their
Oh,
entire life. So, I mean, it's not any different, but I definitely enjoy the nocturnal component, because I got really bad ADHD. So during the day, especially now, how much my phone goes off, it's hard for me to remember who I replied to, if I remember to send this message. But if I work at night, then my phone's pretty quiet, just because everybody's sleeping. So
Oh, that makes sense.
it's easier for me to get work done.
Well, yeah, I can understand that, definitely. And you definitely don't want to be driving and texting and stuff like that. So I'm glad you've pulled over.
Yeah, well, and especially because I'll probably not have service, because I'm literally out in the middle of the desert. So I made sure that
Oh,
we had enough
gosh.
bars for this to run correctly.
Oh, I love it. I appreciate that very, very much. So, did you get EVPs off of anywhere, any of the other houses or areas
So
in
I only
Gettysburg?
did Farnsworth and that mansion I told you about, or the manor I told you about. We didn't do any EVP stuff in the Farnsworth because of how limited on time we were. But even when I do EVPs, my attention span's so short, I can only do like max 3 minutes bursting at a time.
Yeah.
Because if I sit down and I hit record and I just sit there for 30 minutes, I know myself and I might listen to 10 minutes of that, and there could be the best possible piece of evidence in that last 20 minutes, and I'll never hear it. So I've gotten
Okay.
better about just knowing what I'm going to do with a burst session, and I give enough time in between questions, of course, but I can't do the long sessions anymore because I found out for myself that I don't have the time to go back and listen to a 30-minute recording. Now, while I'm editing, if it comes through on my camera, that's a different story because I have a really good microphone I use when I'm filming, but it's hard for me to go through 30 minutes of footage and then go through 30 minutes of the same footage, but there's just audio. So
No, come on, man. You make enough money to hire somebody to listen to your audio evidence. I
I
wish I
dump so
did.
much money back into travel and location and
Oh.
overall just production. My
Yeah.
margins are thin.
Are they really?
So
Oh, man.
I will probably hire an editor before I hire a sound guy, but we'll get there one day.
Yeah, because we every time we that's what we use. Like, I never turn my recorder off, so that's, and I hate reviewing evidence. I mean, I probably have years of audio evidence I haven't listened to yet, just for that reason, because it's so just like, oh God, it's awful, especially when it's like 12 hours and it's very quiet. You're
Yeah, and
just listening to
you're
nothing.
like sitting there with headphones on. There's nothing coming through, and then you like fall asleep because it's just
Yep.
shh, shh, shh.
Get that
So
nice white noise, yep.
I think it's a common issue among investigators is whenever you have those long EVP recordings,
Oh,
you could have the
yeah.
world's best evidence and you'll probably never find it because you
It's
can't Google it.
rough. It's very rough. Okay, so Gettysburg had to be awesome. What are some of your other favorite places to go that you've had some really cool experiences?
So after Gettysburg, I went to an orphanage that has never been done before. It's an Oddfellows orphanage in Sunbury, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And the guy actually reached out to me through my TikTok page. He goes, I've had local groups that have wanted to come in, but I've been watching you for a long time. So if you want to come into the orphanage, I'll let you. Which I thought it was just going to be like one building. No, this is like some huge, like 40-acre
My
complex with like
God.
six buildings. And I told the guy, I was like, you're not renting this place out overnight? He's like, no. And I was like, well, you should be
Wow.
because I've paid over $1,000 for places like this.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. We had a lot of weird activity in the women's side of the orphanage. And what's interesting is the Odd Fellows are kind of like the Freemasons in the sense of there's a lot of mystery and secrets, and just the way that they operate is very, very.
The Odd Fellow. I've never even heard of them.
So look them up. They do rituals and a bunch of other interesting things. They
Wow.
have, I would say, an even more interesting history than the Freemasons, in my opinion. But
Oh my.
essentially, what this place was designed for was anybody during like the War II, if an Odd Fellow went off to war and died and his kids didn't have anywhere to go, they would ship them by train to go to this specific orphanage.
Oh
Now, they had a
wow.
few of these spread around the country, but you know, there's a lot of kids that came through this place, and there's actually like this weird tree on the property too that is like decades older than any tree around it. And it's just got a weird energy to this place, but some of the energy there and just some of the interactions we caught there were, I don't know. I think because I was the first person to go in there and kind of poke at
Talk to
that
him.
bear of what could be lurking in the shadows, it was different. But that's probably one of the creepiest places I've ever done. And another thing that made it creepy was we found like this pantry with non-perishable food items that were like still in date.
Oh my gosh,
So
really?
it was almost like there was somebody living there that we didn't come in contact with, but like we were kind of paranoid, wondering if there's gonna be like some random homeless guy popping out of the shadows in the middle of this orphanage. But
Did the
luckily
owner
we
know anything
have a,
about it?
I mean, he didn't say anything, but he said all the apartments, so they turned part of the orphanage into apartments, but they never got finished. So like
Oh.
it kind of just went I think they ran out of funding, honestly. And then they've
Oh,
tried to
wow.
do some other things with it, but it's literally like I said, 40 acres and six buildings and a bunch of different desks on property. That's never been touched. So that's one that I'm actually trying to work with him to try and get it to where we could do overnights and reservations for people, because I told him the history of that place alone would have people interested.
Oh gosh,
So
yeah.
that was really cool. And probably my favorite location I've done this year would be Crescent Sanatorium in where is it at? So like Lilith, Pennsylvania, or middle of Pennsylvania. Another one in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. But it used to be a tuberculosis rehab center,
Oh.
a mental facility, and a prison. So it's
Oh
lived
my
all three of
God.
those phases. And I want to say there's like 36 buildings. I only made it through like five.
My gosh.
And they have something very similar to the Waverly Hills body chute. They have this tunnel that traveled underneath that they used to transport all of the bodies that passed away from tuberculosis. I want to say the estimated death there is around 40,000.
Oh my
I could be
God.
wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's literally like one of the coolest places that I've ever been to. And, it's up there in price with Waverly and Trans-Allegheny and a lot of your big name spots,
Sure.
12, 1500, whatever they're at. But I would say for the price point and what you get access to, that's probably my favorite one. And we
Well,
got some
honestly,
really weird activity.
I mean, that's not really bad price wise because you get 10 people, and my God,
Yeah, I mean,
with that many
it's,
buildings, you'd never run into each other.
no, you'll never run into anybody there,
Man.
unless you want to. But the church, they have a church there, which the church is really cool because when it was in its prison days, all of these different religions, including Satanism, they all had to practice in this one church building.
Oh my gosh, really?
So they even have some of the papers up where people could order like different things that they needed for their religions off of the sheet inside of the church. So there's still a lot of the history left there for you to kind of take in. So I would say that's probably my favorite location to date. Just for the mere fact of how big it is and how complex the history behind it is.
Did you get any EVPs from that place?
Want to say I did. I got a whistle. I know I got a whistle on recorder. But in terms of me finding that, it's probably slim to none, because that was, shoot, 5 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago. And I'm like the most disorganized person ever. So like if I don't save footage within like, can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha.
Will you text her? My
I
mom.
can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry, my
Okay.
mom was calling me. But
Oh.
it's I'm very disorganized, and if I don't save my footage and categorize it like within 3 days,
Yeah.
it's like finding a needle in a sack of needles.
Oh
And
no.
I'm sitting there
Okay.
going through cards for 40 minutes. So I'll have to see if I can find anything. But I know for sure we got a whistle. And we caught what looked like the church door opening, which it could have been wind. That's the only reason I haven't really done anything with it. In my head, I think it could pop probably be wind. But we
Right.
had a really good Estes session within the church, where I started reading from just the King James version of the Bible that was in there,
Oh,
and
okay.
something did not like that. It kept telling me to stop and got very combative. So I
Oh.
definitely think there's some energy in that place. And if you've never been to Crescent, I would actually put that closer to the top of your list over even some of these places that TV has made us believe are the best of the best.
Right.
Which I think Crescent will probably be on. I know for sure Crescent's going to be on Destination Fear's new season. So people
Oh.
will get a look at it then. But yeah,
Yes,
it's
I've
a
never actually even heard of it.
it's probably my favorite location.
Oh man, well, that's something to get some people gathered up and go to, because that sounds crazy. Now you mentioned the Estes method. For those who don't know what that is, can you explain a little bit about that?
So the Estes method is where it takes at least two people. I've done it with more. I've actually done it with just me, and I had people questioning me virtually, but they were coming into the environment through a speaker. So you have to have at least two voices, is what I like to say. But you have one person with a blindfold or something to obscure their vision, or obstruct their vision, I should say. And you have noise canceling headphones, which you have to make sure you've got really good headphones, because the key important part of the entire experiment is that person cannot hear what you're saying. But what it's essentially trying to do is you're hooked up to either an SB11 or an SB7 or S box, whatever you use for your spirit box. I would steer away from applications. That's just my opinion. But for your spirit box, whatever you use, you hook it up to this, and you are sweeping at whatever you find as a comfortable range. Normally, when I'm doing Estes, it'll be at anywhere between 150 and 200 millisecond sweep rate on AM radio. But sorry, I'm
That's okay.
jumping down the rabbit hole of specifics, but it's essentially supposed to make it to where there isn't any human bias or listening for answers to questions. So if something is to come through that device, whether it be through you or through the spirit box itself, and it answers that question, it's a little bit more of a confirmation, because there isn't the bias that we have sometimes when we hear questions and we're looking for the answers. That person has no idea what we're asking. So it's a really good way to eliminate that need or desire to look for the answer after you ask a question.
And have you ever, in a lot of things, you do the noise canceling headphones and the eye mask and everything as a kind of deprivation type thing, because it's supposed to, when you lose one sense, your other senses are supposed to heighten. Have you ever had an issue doing that because you kind of open yourself up too much and maybe allowed stuff to really get a little bit too close?
See, I'm probably not a good person to ask about how safe we like to play things, because every location I go to, I ask for anything that wants to attach to me to attach to me.
Oh, Kalani, come on. Don't
And I've
do
done
that.
that everywhere I've gone, which I just put out a video. I was about to take a shower yesterday, and I heard a hay in the bathroom, and there was nothing in there with me, and I was like, huh. Thought it was my wife. My wife's like, no, I wasn't inside. And I was like, nice. I mean, I've been asking for it, so it's cool.
Yeah,
Which I
but now
feel
your
like I have a
wife's going to be
few.
asking for it too.
I've had a few people that tell me I have some already. Not just one, but some.
I
But
would imagine.
everybody seems to be chilling on the road trips we got. So as long as they don't give me
God.
any problems, I'm cool.
Oh my
But
gosh, you are crazy for asking for that, especially in some of these places that have dark energy. You better be careful.
yeah, I mean, so I've had a lot of psychics, because I have my dad's Native Hawaiian and my mom's from Nashville, but a lot of them tell me there's some sort of ancestral energy that kind of protects me in a sense. I don't really know the specifics of it. That's not my forte, but a lot of people have told me that there is some sort of protection given through my ancestry. So
Well,
we'll just
good.
keep riding with that, and
Well,
we'll be all right.
that's a good thing, definitely. Oh my gosh. So where are you heading now? Are you
So
allowed to tell
I'm
us?
heading to Hotel El Rancho in Gallup, New Mexico. It
Okay.
was on Ghost Adventures last year, which, whether you like the show or not, the place has history and it
Yeah.
looks really cool. And I need a place to sleep tonight after I investigate. So we are going to Hotel El Rancho.
Oh, so you could actually stay there then.
Yeah, so it's one you can rent out a room and stay in, and it's a cool little town right off of Route 66.
Oh, very
So
cool.
it's got some history to it, so I'm excited to see kind of what we get tonight.
Oh, so you're actually going to be investigating tonight too? After getting, oh Lord, how far are you away from it now?
About 4 hours.
Oh, that's not too terrible, I
No, so I
guess.
usually like to plan my trips where I'm going to have to stop and go to sleep anyway. I find a place that I can investigate. Then I'll sleep for a few hours, and then I'll get back on the road and head to the next spot. I've been doing this rinse and repeat for about a year and a half.
Wow. Well, hey, at least you got a plan that seems to do well for you.
It works. I mean, so far it works. I took my
So,
first day off 2 days ago where I did nothing. That's the first time I've done that since I've started. So
bet it was nice.
it was nice.
We'll try to take some of those periodically so you don't burn yourself out.
No, I
Easier
think
said than done.
you've got to have the passion for this because there's a lot of people that jump into this field thinking it's going to be their vehicle to stardom or a celebrity status or whatever you're looking for. I think if you're getting into it with the passion for the field and the hobby as itself without needing anything else, it's a lot easier to work and produce at this level. But I feel like if you're just in it for the other reasons, it's going to be a lot harder for you to stay consistent and not get burnout.
Why? Yeah, I can understand that definitely. Well, for those who don't already know, how can people get in contact with you or watch what you're doing, the crazy adventures you're going on?
So all of my social medias are either under Kalani Ghost Hunter, Kalani Ghost Hunter, or Kalani Ghost. But if you just go to KalaniGhostHunter.com, it has everything linked on that page itself, so you don't have to do any kind of digging. You can just tap whatever platform you're looking for, and
Oh,
it's all
cool.
right.
Now, are you primarily, when you do your live stuff, is it primarily through TikTok?
Yes, the live stuff is that I've just started producing like more documentary style, longer content for YouTube. So I just
Oh,
released
great.
one from Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. We did that one's about an hour long, and I did the first ever investigation of an NFL stadium with an NFL player that's on there.
I saw that. Yeah, that's really cool.
That's kind of what I'm trying to get out weekly is YouTube. It's easier said than done with how much I travel, but
Right.
one day we will have an editor. One day.
I believe in you, brother. I think you're going to be huge, maybe even
I
bigger
appreciate
than you are now.
it. We'll just
And
keep on grinding.
don't let them break you into doing stuff you don't want to do. Be your
No, and
own
I've
boss,
had a few
bro.
talks with TV stuff, but for me, the integrity of what I've done has been my vehicle. And I think, there's a lot of investigators that don't really like YouTubers or content creators because they feel that there's a lack of transparency or an inauthentic vibe to it, which I feel like that's where I've capitalized, is mine's the complete opposite. And there's just people that don't like me because of my approach. I mean, I'm 24 years old. My humor is very, very 24-year-oldish. And there's some people that don't like that, but in terms of the investigation itself, there's very good, solid, transparent stuff there.
I love the singing that you do. That's one of my
Yeah,
favorite things.
that works. If all else fails and I'm looking for something to go off, I'll just start singing.
Well, I think you're doing a fantastic job and keep up the good work. And thank you so much for taking time for, to come on here and talk to us a little bit tonight because I know you're insanely busy.
No, I appreciate it, and I'm glad that we could knock it out for you.
Absolutely. Well, you guys be careful the rest of your drive and have fun down there in New Mexico.
All right, thank you.
All right, now we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Awesome.